This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. This is KQEN Local. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Dale, how are you doing?
Absolutely perfect.
You know, it's a very nice day out there.
It is.
81, is, you know, I can handle
hey,
that.
Yeah.
That stuff that Ashley talked about, 97, they can take that to Mexico or Central America. Or the
China,
especially China. And just leave us alone. 81 is great.
Perfect.
Yes, we do. Well, anyway, thank you for listening out there. This is a gardening show, answers and questions. You do the questions and I do the answers. And I'm here to educate folks. There's a lot of folks out there that don't quite know what to do or how to do it, how to plant it or what type of plant that is or what type of fertilizer or how do I take care of my lawn. And I'm gonna talk about some more about lawn work today. And then I'm going to switch over to some kind of miniature vegetables, if you will, and I'll tell you about a few of those. But if you do have a question, 673-4464, get in here and state your question, and I'll try to give you the best answer that I can. It's sometimes difficult when folks are asking a question. If I'm in the studio, I can't see, you know, what they're talking about. If I can see, I can determine a more correct solution to the problem, if I'm standing on the site. So keep that in mind. And if I'm slightly off once in a while, forgive me. And I want to thank Evan Cruz. He calls in here once in a while. He listens to my show, apparently. And there's been a time or two he's called and has gently corrected what I was saying about a certain spray or a certain weed or something like that. And I appreciate that. It doesn't bother me a bit. If somebody's got the better answer and can educate me, I'm all ears. I want to know. So, anyway, I'm going to start out with something that happened to me about an hour ago. I went to Myrtle Creek to look at a project, and these folks, and I won't mention any names or any streets or anything like that.
Can we hold on to that? We got a phone call.
Oh, come on. We have a phone call. Are you sure?
I hope so. All right. Now that I've interrupted you. Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in an air-conditioned little studio here, and it's cold.
All right. So I have a question. I have 4 raised beds.
Okay.
I've never had raised gardens before. And so two of them are doing really good, and then 2 are doing really bad.
Hmm.
And it's the same vegetables. One, all the pepper leaves are eaten off like corn on the cob.
Oh.
And then I have some plants that they're the same size when I bought them, but they have peppers on them. They're not getting any taller.
Maybe they're miniatures or dwarfs, huh?
Maybe so. So anyway, and then I have some green beans where the leaves are turning yellow.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your watering process like? How often and how much do you water?
Water every evening for about 10 minutes by hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, stop that.
Okay.
Because it sounds like an overwater problem. You know, if you did them maybe twice a week, it would be more than ample. Now, I know on a 97-degree day like we had the other day, you'd be tempted to put a little more water in. And I actually put a little bit more water in my plants at home because it was so hot. But normally, in garden plants, and we've got a lot of potted plants around our place, on outdoors, and they only get watered about twice a week max. And if your test is reach in there and feel the soil, and if it feels, you know, kind of damp, go down 4 or 5 inches and just test it out. If it's really soggy wet, that's part of your problem. The other one,
okay,
where they're being eaten by like corn on the cob is a bug problem. And your best bet on that would be to go to the Farmers Co-op or Coastal, whichever you prefer, And okay. there's so many sprays, and there's so many, oh gosh, there's so many different remedies for bugs. You know, look at them, read the labels, see what the causes are, and see if they can fix it. The other thing, what we do about when we get stuff eaten that's in the ground around our place, I spray, I've got my a wood stove, and I spread wood ashes, old wood ashes around and surrounding them. And if they're slugs or snails or something like that, that stops them. And they crawl across that and they die. It's simple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, right. and you know, ashes, preferably cooled ones. You know, you don't want to put the hot ones.
Right,
on.
Exactly.
so, but,
okay.
But,
all right, well,
try,
thank you.
Try a couple of those solutions and see if you have a correction. But test the soil. Uh-huh. Feel how wet it actually is. If it's bone dry, you soak it. If it's really, really wet, leave it alone.
Okay. Yeah, it's really weird because the plants that I was talking about that are all eaten,
yeah,
they're in the same garden, but they're in different beds, and one is doing beautifully, so I'm not sure why they would attack one bed but not the other. That's just,
well, you know, the bugs can't eat everything all at once, or if the slugs or whatever they might be. Are they chomps out of the leaves, or they just devour the whole plant?
They just devour all the leaves.
Huh.
And I have, like, on one of them, I have a pepper at the very top, and all the leaves are gone.
I'll bet you it's a slug or a snail.
Okay.
Yeah, keep your
Alrighty.
Eye keep your eye out. Chuck them close.
Okay. Okay. Thank
right.
you.
You're sure welcome.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, that was a nice call.
Yeah. You know, sometimes bugs are a real pain in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
Especially slugs and snails. They're not bugs, but... Gosh, I'll tell you, this seems like there's a surplus of them puppies around this year. I've got them on my porch, and I'm going, what are they doing on my porch, you know? How do they get on my porch, for goodness sake?
Yeah.
It's
3 feet they come
off
from?
The ground. Yeah, well, they come from the ground, obviously, but, you know, what are they doing on the porch? There's nothing here to eat, and they're crawling along my porch.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. It is. But what I was starting to say was I visited a
Myrtle Creek.
A Myrtle Creek person. And, you know, they wanted some landscape maintenance and that kind of thing. And they've got a brand new landscape. And it's one of those low maintenance kind of things out front with rocks and plants. And it looks good. And in the back, they have a small lawn. And the small lawn, brown spots and green strips. And, you know, I'm thinking... Yeah, I couldn't quite think about, well, I said, well, how long has this been in? He says, well, about 5 weeks. And I went, 5 weeks? It should be gorgeous. It should be green. It should be lush. It, you know.
Yeah.
And at any rate, I felt the soil, and it felt like a swamp,
uh-oh.
Number one. And I said, and it looks like a real lack of fertilizer in conjunction with too much watering. And I know I've spoken on these subjects 100 times.
It's a double whammy.
It's a double whammy. And at any rate, I felt the soil. It was swampy, and then there's nothing penetrating. There's no drainage at all. And I asked them, I said, well, how often are you watering? Well, every day for 10 minutes. And I went through the litany about, hey, you know, twice a week for 30 minutes is more than ample, blah, blah, blah. And, I said, well, who installed it? And they told me.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of was the soil prep, and I talked about that extensively last week or 2 weeks ago, the soil prep wasn't done properly. You know, it was maybe just pure topsoil and spread out and sod went on it. And the other thing I said, well, did the landscaper fertilize the bare ground before they put the sod on? Nope, didn't.
Nope.
How about after the sod was on, did the landscaper fertilize it then? No, they didn't.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that's one part of the problem. And
right.
And just to, like I say, it's an educational thing. They didn't know anything about it. You know, they're old, they're retired folks that... sold a ranch, and now they're living in a new house in town. You know, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. You got to drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, baby. I knew I could say that someday on my show.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But that's the That's the thing, as I talked about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about soil preparation is so, so important. Drainage is so important, so that if you do happen to overwater or something like that, at least the water drains down, goes down into the ground so that the root systems can follow right down along. And the other thing that I saw as a clue, where when you lay sod, there are seams. And if done properly, within 3 days, 4 days, the seams disappear and it's just all solid. Well, I can still see the seams. And that gave me another clue as to it wasn't laid properly. And, you know, because when you can see a seam and it's brown, you know something's not cooking there.
Yeah.
So that's just you know, and I see that stuff a lot, you know, just driving around. I can spot it from my truck at 50 miles an hour, for crying out loud. But, you know, that's, again, the most important things are proper ground preparation, soil preparation, so that there's good drainage, good fertilization program, and an adequate watering program. And, gosh, I've spoken about those things for however many years I've been on this thing, and... It's really important, and I saw the net result of improper installation. So,
oh yeah,
for whatever,
probably over and over again.
Yes, oh yeah. So, but and I'll go into this now. The heat of the summer, of course, is upon us with the, you know, and with this the event of our watering schedules. There we go again. Have to be adjusted accordingly to newly planted flowers, shrubs, trees, lawns, all that. They're going to need the attention. You're going to have to pay attention to how much you water, when you water, the needs of your newly planted things and those that have been there forever. But this is focusing on newly planted, like flowers, the shrubs, and the trees. Mm-hmm. And depending on your soil type and the amount of shade or sun your yard gets, it's going to determine, you know, the plant water needs. I mean, what do they need if it's in the shade? How much do they need if it's in full sun? You know, there's a difference there. You don't water them the same. And again, I'm talking about those plants that were installed this spring. Stuff that's been in the ground for a year, you got a better, if it survived last year, hey, they're probably good to go.
Yeah, they're used to it.
You know, because a year's worth of root growth makes a tremendous difference there. And they're not as critical. But, you know, keep an eye on them as well. Now, flowers like geraniums, petunias, marigolds, and other types of things, you know, the stuff that's blooming and all the box stores are selling all the stuff, and they're getting ready to put them all on sale because it's almost the end of June. And they got way too many. They're going to destroy thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of flowers.
Oh, wow.
You know, you go by Lowe's or Home Depot or by Mart's. Look at all the flowers they got out there. I mean, and they're in like 4-inch pots.
Mm-hmm.
They won't survive in a 4-inch pot. And nobody's buying them, and they won't give them away probably.
Right.
And the next thing you know, they're going to dump them. So we don't dump anything. I save everything that comes to my way. I revive it and put it back for sale.
Even old ran over trees.
Even old ran over trees. You betcha. I've done a few of them. I'll tell you, but. You know, the flowery stuff, the small stuff that comes in little, you know, 4-inch pots, 6-inch pot, that kind of thing, the geraniums, et cetera, the flower stuff, they need to be kept damp. Damp is not swamp. Damp is just damp. If it's damp, it's good, and they'll do good. Larger shrubs have more of a root mass, and they're more mature, so their water needs are not quite as critical. Again, damp but not soaked. You can always add water. How many times have I said this?
Yeah.
But you can't take it out once it's in the ground. And once the roots start to rot, you can't revive most plants unless you stop watering totally and completely. Mm. But most people are afraid to stop. They think, oh, no, it needs water. It needs water.
Yeah.
And a lady that just called said some of her leaves were brown and crinkly. Mm. Well, that's why I asked her about how often do you water and actually test the soil. Put your finger down in there, see if it's wet. Leave it alone. Just because it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it's water time, don't do it.
And 95 degrees.
That's right. Now, on newly planted flowers...
Can we do that right after the break?
If I have to.
Newly planted trees. No, shrubs.
Flowers. We're going to flowers. Don't stop it. don't confuse me.
We'll be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. We are back. 4:23 with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. We were just talking about more flowers.
Yeah, we were. And if you have a question, 673-4464 is the number to get you right through here. Okay, on flowers, we're talking about watering maybe every other day because they're small. They have the root mass is small.
They're little babies.
They're babies yet, and you can rot them. You can rot them in 3 days by watering them every day, and then they begin to die. So you think, oh, they're dying, so I'll water them some more. Don't stop it. They're tougher than what you give them credit for, and as my old college professor. Botany professor says they don't grow because of us, Mike. They grow in spite of us, and that's true. And I've done that experiment at my own house, and you know they live on very little care, thankfully. but you know, a new little flower again. Stick your finger in there. If it's damp, leave it alone. If it's dry, water it. And that might be every third day. That might be every fourth day. Who knows? It's your soil is your particular. Geographical area, and you know, it's not maybe like the guy next door, the person across the street. So
right. Watering may vary.
Yeah, it may vary. And just because the neighbor does it every day, don't you follow suit just because you think that's the way to do it. You may have a totally different soil, very fast draining, and this is what you have to do. Now with shrubs, newly planted shrubs, you water them when you plant them, and to kind of settle and make sure there's no air pockets, et cetera, like that. But then maybe every third day, or maybe every fourth day, maybe twice a week the first year. The second year, oh gosh, you might do it every 7 to 10 days. And the third year, you might do it, you know, twice a month. It just depends on the type of shrub, the type of soil, the type of drainage, and the amount of water that you give it. Trees, of course, newly planted trees. I'm talking about newly planted stuff here. They're going to need a deep soak at least once a week through the summer. You know, again, a deep soak might be a gallon, might be 2 gallons, depending on your soil and the size of the tree, all those kinds of things. Some of the new apple trees I planted and some of the other cherries and things I planted at my place last year when they were brand new, I watered them pretty well once a week. This year, I think I've watered them twice the whole year. And, you know, we did have some rains, but the rains didn't penetrate much ground. I mean, it kind of kept washed the dust off and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I drag a hose up there and give them a shot and soak them. So I probably won't water them for another month, maybe, or 3 weeks at that. And then I've got some up on my hill, the experimental models. Never watered. never.
Those are the ones I'm thinking about.
And they got apples on them, for crying out
yep.
loud. And they've been in, what, 2 years, 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And my son planted them. And I said, would you put them way up there in the mountain? I got to drive my four-wheeler up there to get, you know, with 5 gallons of water in the back. But now if the weather turns cool and rainy again, you know, water's important, but not critical.
Yeah.
And it's okay, you know, like I say, on super hot days, if you've got 2 or 3 of those in a row, go give it a shot. But each yard is different, and you just have to find your own watering rhythm by, like, paying attention, and just don't do it because, oh, I should do it because I didn't do it yesterday. Don't whack that way.
Yeah.
Now, lawns, of course, are a whole different ball game. old lawns, like 10 years or older or more. They're
well-established lawns.
You're well-established, yes. And some of them look okay, but the vast majority of them, as I drive around, are kind of a light green to brown, light brown tinge to them now. And I know that some of them are in neighborhoods that are being watered. But the problem is that probably the thatch is too thick because they've been in for a while, and the old dead grass builds up just like a thatch roof. It sheds water. It doesn't let it soak through, and that's what you want to do. Is if you got a kind of a lawn and can't figure out why isn't that puppy green? What do I do? I fertilized it, but it's still just a few spots turn green. Well, the thatch is probably built up so much. And so you thatch it, and then you aerate it, and you fertilize it, and voila, you almost got a brand new lawn. Now, thatching is simply raking out all the dead grass so that the good grass can grow. Mm-hmm. That means raking out all the dead stuff that's accumulated in the last 10 years, and sometimes even 5 years, you might experience some of this. But there are two ways to do this operation. The hardest and the most time-consuming method is to hand rake the dead grass.
So
you get one of them real stiff garden rakes and get in there and just start raking the stuff out. First, you cut the lawn short, then you rake and you rake and you rake. You'd be amazed at how much dead grass comes out of there.
That was my dad's method.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a thatcher costs about, $60-$70 for the day to rent one. But it does an absolute cool, quick job, and you're not... I mean, it's a big, heavy machine, but so you don't want your 10-year-old son to do it. But, you know, you just run around that lawn two or three times in different directions, and you'll have four or five pickup loads of dead grass sitting there before
easily,
you know it.
Yeah.
So that's the quicker and more efficient way is to rent a thatching machine. And Roseburg Rentals and I believe United Rentals out here, they both rent those machines. And they'll tell you how to operate it and do all that stuff. So basically, you're raking out all the dead stuff to the surface, then you rake it up, then you put it in, put the dead grass in a compost pile over in the side yard that it's going to turn into organic matter in about a year, and you can spread it around in your garden, and it actually feeds the whatever you got planted in there, you know, a vegetable garden.
Recycle it, baby.
Yeah. So the process basically is cut the lawn short, then thatch it, and the final step is aeration. Aeration is another machine that you can rent, or you can do it by hand, and you're pulling plugs of soil out of the lawn because most ground in Douglas County, since it's a clay base, gets compacted, especially if you've got kids running all over playing baseball or soccer or whatever, and it gets compacted after so many years. So the aeration machine pulls those plugs out. Usually they're about a 3 or 4 inch plug of soil, about as big around as a cigar or something like that. And then when you go two or three different ways on your lawn, you know, lengthwise, sideways, and diagonally, you pretty much covered it. And then you look back and it looks like the American Kennel Club just had a dog show on it. So if that freaks you out, rake them all up. But if it doesn't bother you, the first time you mow it, they all disintegrate out, you know, from the mower. So don't worry about it. But what that does is opens up. You've thatched it, so you got the dead grass out. Now you've aerated, so you've got... Now when you fertilize and you water, guess what? The fertilizer and the water actually can penetrate the turf and get down to the root systems, and voila, within days, you'll see a dramatic difference. Within 2 weeks, you'll think it was a brand-new lawn just installed by some sod company. And you don't need to do it every year, but every 5, maybe 10 years, 7 years, somewhere, your ground will dictate, no matter how much I water or fertilize, it's still not turning green like I want it.
Right.
So that's what you do with the thatching. Now, the way to combat that is, like I opened the program with, there was this brand new sod lawn that looks like, you know, it wasn't growing. It just wasn't doing a good thing. Huh. Well, that's where that correct soil preparation comes in, so that you don't have a compaction problem, so that the roots can actually penetrate that new soil. So anyway.
Get in there and get it.
Yeah, yeah. And the lawn is fertilized and you water it deeply, like once a week, maybe for, you know, maybe, you know, 2-3 days in a row, and then you go into a once a week kind of system. But that fertilizer actually gets down to that root system and generates a brand new green lush lawn instead of a yellow patch of grass.
That's ugly.
Yeah, and once it fills in, is growing well, cut it at a high setting. A high setting in the heat of the summer is much healthier. It'll stay greener. You know, a lot of folks like to get a real shortcut, and it's green on top, and they're done cutting it, and it's all yellow or brown. And it's because you cut all the live stuff off.
It looks like a baseball mound.
Yeah, you're right. It does. And but if you cut it on a high setting, it doesn't have to be, you know, 6 inches high. But, you know, the higher setting on any kind of mower that you do is going to be just right. And if you do it once, you say, that's a little too high. Okay, knock it down a notch, but keep it there. Because the heat of the summer, you know, we're just beginning to experience.
Right.
And it's not going to cool off, you know, say, till the end of September or somewhere in there. That way your lawn stays green all year, especially if you're fertilizing properly. You're green. You've got a green lawn. There's no bare spots. It's growing well. It's lush. It's green. It's healthy. And you're not watering as much as you thought you would be, and you learn something by it. It works. Now, when it starts raining and it gets cooler, you can go ahead and shorten your cut. Don't scalp it. Don't put it on the bottom rung of the mower and go through, and it's an inch long or a quarter inch long when you're done.
That I'm laughing because it reminds me of my dad.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, the only time I scalp a lawn is when we're going to get ready to aerate or thatch, because that way you get the majority of the stuff off, and then you're down on the almost to bare ground, and you really do an efficient job that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it is. And because in the summertime, the reason I'll switch back here, if you do mow too short, the soil gets hot. And when the heat penetrates down into the root grass roots, that sets it back. Doesn't kill it, but it sets it back. But it dries out more quickly, and the longer grass will keep the soil moisture longer and slows down any invasion of weed growth. When you get bare spots, that's when the weeds start to pop.
Yeah.
That's when you know the lawn is weak, so the weeds take over, and then it's a pain in the neck to try to get rid of them. So you know those are your options. But continue to fertilize throughout the growing season until say mid-October, and the lawn's going to remain healthy and green going into the winter, and it's going to come out that way in the spring. It's restart your fertilizing program say in mid-March. And then fertilize every 60 days for best results, at least every 60 days. Maybe your lawn might do every 40 days, but at least 60 days. And buy only the top quality lawn food. It costs more, but it does more for a longer period of time. You know, it's just the way it is. We got a break?
We do.
Okay.
Here we go. Break number 34.
34?
We'll be back with more of Mike Leonard's Lawn and Garden Show here.
No wonder I'm tired.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to sleep during the summer when it's still daylight out.
Yeah, you know, last night I went out at 10 o'clock at night, and the sky was not dark. It was, still light in the sky at 10 o'clock. I thought, jeez Louise, man.
I love it.
What are we doing here? I could mow some more.
Dude, some more drainage.
So I've been talking about lawns and plants and how to keep them green, healthy, and nice during the summer when you are actually using the lawn, actually having a picnic or a croquet game or somersaults or whatever. Now, here's another little trick. If your lawnmower blades are not sharp, you will damage the lawn when you mow it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Get those blades sharpened by a pro or for a clean cut. Or if you can do it yourself, do it yourself. But dull blades don't cut the grass. Dull blades beat and tear the grass. So you've got a mower with dull blades, hasn't been sharpened in 3 years. You go over it and you cut it short. Well, if you look closely at your final product, you'll see that the blades are not a clean. The blades of grass are not a clean cut. They are
kind
ragged.
Ragged. Yeah,
exactly.
I was going to say.
Yeah. And when you got ragged, that's when you invite, you know, disease, fungus, or bugs. Hot sun will, because it's a bad cut. And so it cannot heal properly.
Ragged and kind of split.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a detriment to your grass. And like I say, then the damaged grass is open to the fungus or bugs or whatever.
Wow.
And all the prior lawn work you've done is wasted time and money.
Down the swamp.
Yeah. And just remember this, the hotter it gets, the higher you mow. And it's going to come out for you. It's going to survive better. It's going to look better. It's going to be healthier. And a good green lawn will cool your house down, cool your yard down. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Now,
it works.
You got a question?
No, I was just thinking about my dad again. Those.
Your poor dad. He should be here to defend himself from all his gardening techniques.
Oh, or lack of.
Well, you know, we could teach him. Yeah. Okay. As I do more research, like into container gardens, and I've spoken about this quite a lot here in the last few months too, I'm finding more vegetables that have been hybridized to grow well and be productive in pots and boxes that you can put on a deck or a patio or whatever. But I came across some varieties, vegetable varieties, that I'm going to share with you. There's one, it's called On Deck Sweet Corn. On Deck
is
like...
Oh, I love sweet corn.
Yeah, sweet corn. You know, normally sweet corn is...
Can we talk about that after the phone call?
Oh, we got a phone call. Sure, you bet.
Okay, you're on the air with Mike.
Hello.
Hi. I'd like to find out from the garden guy there, where the best place on my property to grow marijuana plant?
Sunny location with good soil.
Does it have to be near the sun anyway? Towards the sun or what?
Well, if it gets, you know, 7 hours of sun a day, that's enough to grow a good pot.
It is. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, that was a first.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, plants are plants, man.
That's true.
And I know that marijuana needs a lot of sun to grow and mature. I watched as the marijuana grows around the county, you know, a bunch of them in the last couple of years, and I've watched... I watched them do their watering techniques, and I saw the people that were successful. They grew big, large plants and very full. And then I saw the people that didn't know what they were doing, and their plants were scraggly, weak, and yellow, and just mm-hmm. plain ugly. And I thought, and you know, in one place with, you know, a couple acres in size, and I think they gave up because they destroyed their crop. They just bulldozed it, or because it was worthless. Whereas if you did it right with good soil and proper watering, et cetera, there's two places I have in mind. one is out on out past my nursery, a mile or two, on Brockway Road, and they've just planted their new crop for this year. But what they did, they went in there and they ripped the soil with rippers. They tilled the soil and then they raked it smooth as a, just smooth, beautiful. And then they put their own drip system in, and these are this is their third year there, and they grow good pot.
Nice.
I mean, they just, I mean, you drive by and it's just lush and green, tall and full.
Wow.
And they've got it all in now.
You got their phone number?
Well, no, I can just stop and ask them, for crying out loud. I drive right by it twice a day. there's another area out there on Shady Lane that has the same kind of soil conditions, and they do a wonderful job. So if you're going to grow something, do it right.
Do it right.
You know,
that's right.
If it's a geranium or a pot plant, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, golly. Okay, but I'm getting back to the vegetables now. On deck, sweet corn. I never thought you could grow corn in a pot, but there is a smaller growing corn that only gets 4 to 5 feet tall and 12 to 18 inches wide in a pot. And so you don't need an acre, just a big pot, you know. And on deck corn is a sweet corn that has been bred for containers or small gardens. Each plant can produce 2 or 3 ears of corn that average 7 to 8 inches long. So it's not a big, like what you find at Brosai or Cruz Farms or anything like that. But we're growing this in a pot, you know, and these are dwarf corn plants. You know, I never heard of it until I started looking into this. But these plants are about half the height of a standard corn plant. So you see a standard corn plant, you know, 7, 8 feet tall, whatever, at least 7. And these guys are like, you know, 4 feet, and they can grow in a big pot. And you don't have to space them out either. To get good pollination, you're going to need at least 10 plants for a corn crop, because corn is wind pollinated, and so you put your corn pots close together, so when the breeze flows through, the pollen flows from one plant to the next. And if you got a big enough container, you can have 10 or 12 plants in each pot. The ears are usually ready to eat in about 65 days after planting. And the only problem I've had so far is, where do I get the seed? Well, at the end, I found out where I can get the seed, and I'll share that with you. But I believe pots of corn would be a hot item in the spring at my nursery. Well, I'm going to try to talk my people into that. So, okay, then, cool. Then I found compact cucumbers. These are all dwarf growing vegetables, but the vegetables are still edible.
Mm.
So, you know. But
sounds like it might be good for somebody on a diet.
Yes, small. It could be. Small corn, small veggies, small cucumbers. Well, these guys only get about 10 or 12 inches tall and maybe 2 or 3 feet wide. And the plant is called patio snacker cucumber. So remember that. And will produce 6-inch-long cucumbers, and these plants are big producers. I mean, they'll produce more than you can possibly eat, and that's just the way they are. The vines are very short, so it fits well in a pot on a deck or mm-hmm. a patio.
Cool.
And patio snackers don't need a lot of pollinators because they have the ability to set fruit without a bee or any insect pollinating, you know, from plant to plant. But if a bug comes by for a shot of pollen, don't chase them off, okay? And these cukes are ready to eat in 55 days after you've planted the seeds. And you plant one plant per, like, 3-gallon pot or three feet apart in a big box planter. Or if you got a small area in your yard, you can have, you know, half a dozen of these things in about 10 feet. So it's... you know, and they'll need a small trellis to climb on, and the more you pick these guys, the more the plant produces. And again, don't overwater, and they'll grow well.
So that seems to be the key over and over. Don't overwater.
Yeah, we're wasting water for crying out loud.
Yeah, we need that.
And
stuff.
We're killing plants.
Yeah,
no wonder we got global warming. Now,
is this a good time for a break?
Sure, you bet.
Alrighty, let's do
it. About.
More vegetables and growing corn in a pot.
Yeah, or pot in the corn.
We'll be back. More Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, about 9 minutes away from the afternoon report at 5, and we have more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show coming up. In fact, right now.
So yeah, that's good timing. so I've been talking about dwarf vegetables. You know, you got a deck. You don't have a yard. You got an apartment, a condo, or whatever, but you want some fresh veggies. So. Mm-hmm. This is all I'm talking about, these different varieties that you can grow and have your corn and all that kind of stuff. Now, everybody's favorite, of course, has to be Astia zucchini. You know, everybody loves
that
zucchini.
That grows well.
Yeah. You can't stop a zucchini from growing producing. They're very prolific.
It's like a weed.
It's worse than a weed. you can't hardly kill it. and you can grow these dwarf zucchinis in about 50 days. Plant one plant in a 5-gallon pot or a small garden, you know, maybe put them 3 feet apart, and they do need insects and bees to pollinate, but you'll get a lot to eat. Now, if you've never had zucchini bread, that's the only part of the zucchini I like, is zucchini bread.
Me too.
And then when you toast it and put a pound of butter on it, it's delicious.
It's even better. Good for the ticker.
Good. Oh, yeah. Keeps on ticking. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And when harvesting these delightful little guys, don't just rip them off the stems. That causes damage to them. Cut them with a pair of pruners or a sharp knife or something. Just don't pull them off. It'll set the plant back. And you can harvest zucchini on a daily basis. That's how quickly it grows. They'll have this big yellow flower one day, and the next day you have a 3-inch zucchini, and the next day it's a foot long if you don't pick it. So, and the smaller ones, when you pick them earlier, don't let them get to, you know, football size and bigger. But if you pick them when they're, you know, 7-8 inches long, and then they're better tasting. You cook with them. You can make a vegetable kind of thing with onions and mushrooms and zucchini with a sauce, It's actually edible. You know, I mean, you gotta like zucchini, and
you gotta get them when they're young.
Yeah. The younger they are, the better they are. And the way my wife cooks them, hey, they're edible.
Nice.
I've had them at other places where they were.
Yeah.
Not so edible. How's that?
You know, chewy and stringy.
Kind of put them, you know. But anyway.
Feed them to the dog. Dog won't even eat them.
The dog won't eat them, no. But they taste really good when you smother them in blue cheese dressing, too. You know, these guys will keep producing until freezing temperatures come to town and hit us. And that's bingo. They don't like that. So last but not least on my list is the Super Bush Tomato. It's a dwarf tomato bush. It only gets 2 or 3 feet tall max and about 2 feet wide. And one plant will probably produce all the tomatoes you can eat. But if you plant 2 or 3 of these guys, you can feed the whole neighborhood. And these tomatoes are not miniature tomatoes. It's the bush itself that's the miniature. The tomatoes will fit in the palm of your hand.
I mean, that's a big...
Yes, it's not a huge one, but it's like a medium-sized tomato.
Mm-hmm. It's not a cherry.
Yeah, well, it's bigger than a cherry, but not as big as a regular-sized tomato. Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
Kind of in-between.
Yeah, it's an in-between. But like I say, 2 of these plants, I mean, they're very highly productive. These tomatoes weigh in at about 5 or 6 ounces each, and the plant, like I said, is small, but the fruits are not. They're very sweet, juicy, and they're ready in about 70 days. It takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And they're very high producers. They just continue to produce. And one plant, like in a 5-gallon pot, is all you need for good productivity. That's all you it'll keep you in tomatoes for months.
Cool.
But, you know, again, keep them moist but not soaked, and water too much, and they won't set fruit. They'll grow leaves, but they won't set fruit. You know, I've had calls. Hey, I got a tomato and it's 5 feet. Tomato plant is 5 feet tall, and the yellow blooms come on it, and then they fall off. But the leaves are growing like, you know, 90 miles an hour, and it's huge. How often are you watering? Oh, every day. Stop, you know, because they need the stress. They need the stress. It signals them that hey, you're about to die, so you better produce some offspring here, and so they'll bloom. And all of a sudden, bingo, there's the tomatoes all over it.
And if they don't get that. They don't
produce. But if you keep watering them, they keep growing, and they won't set the fruit because they're not under stress. They have to be stressed to set the fruit or the vegetable. Well, they call them fruits, too.
They're all fruits.
Yeah, they're all fruits. But if you have that problem, cut the watering by at least 50% to see what's happening.
Huh.
And prune the leaf growth so that the energy, you know, if you've got long branches with a lot of leaves and nothing else, prune those guys off. Prune it a little bit shorter so that the energy of the plant is directed toward fruit production and not leaf production.
Mm.
And these tomatoes, according to the literature, are very... very prolific and very heavy producers. I saw some photos of them in the Mother Earth News that I was reading. And, you know, that's a weird book. It has some really good ideas. It's got some weird ideas, too. But it's got some really good gardening ideas in there. And this article kind of explained that and what they were doing.
She's been around a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when it was just hippie stuff only.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Now they're kind of mainstream.
Yeah, they're right up there.
Yeah, right up there. And finally, at the end of the article, I read, I can get these seeds. And so seeds for any of these vegetables, you can call, listen up, 800-234-3368. That's 800-234-3368. And tell them you want those miniature veggies. Or you can get on the old internet, and it's www.MotherEarthNews.com/store. www.MotherEarthNews.com, and then there's a /store. So
that'll get you right in
there. I'm done for the day. If there's any more phone calls, save them for next week.
We only have about 30 seconds.
30 seconds, huh? Well, you know, enjoy the weather because it's beautiful out there. It was 81 when I parked my truck in the parking lot, and there was clouds in the sky, and I thought, this is my kind of summer day.
Yeah,
man.
I love this.
You can take that 97 and ship it somewhere. We don't need it in Douglas County. And
tomorrow's going to be 92s. No, 88, sorry.
Yeah, right. I don't ever want to see another 90-degree day again, ever.
Maybe on Friday, 92.
Oh, I doubt it. You guys guess all the time. They can't even read the satellites correctly, you know? Come on. Give me a break.
All righty. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for us, Mike.
Okay. Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. I hope the listeners enjoyed it. And get your questions ready for next week. I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
Well, maybe we'll... Never mind.
No.
I was going to tell you a joke, but
No jokes. I've heard your jokes. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Afternoon Report up next. News Radio 1240 KQEN.